Ascension Day. One of the things that I find slightly bugs me, or I find slightly challenging or annoying, is the way that card companies cash in on the Christian faith, actually, and indeed on anything else they can possibly cash in on. Christmas cards on sale in October, Easter cards, Valentine's Day cards, birthday cards, Father's Day cards, Mother's Day cards. It seems to me that if they think that somebody is going to celebrate it, then they're going to do a card, stick it on a card and sell it. But there's one card in the entirety of my life that I have never, ever seen on sale in any card shop. An Ascension Day card. I've never seen one. Why? Because I suppose they don't think that anyone's going to celebrate it. So there's no point in making it because they're not going to sell it. Yet, you know, Ascension Day is absolutely crucial to our faith as Christians. You see, what happens at Easter, it's completed when Jesus ascends. So I think that Jesus' ascension calls for a huge celebration, because it affects us all in three amazing ways. Firstly, because Jesus ascended, we can know where we're going. I remember once we'd been on holiday in Switzerland and we were getting the train back to the airport in Geneva. And the train, we had to change trains at a place called Susten. And as we came into the train station, Matthew, my eldest son, started whinging. I want a drink, I want a drink, I want a drink. And I didn't have any money. So I said to my family, Jane and the fork, I said, no worries, I said, as soon as the train stopped at this station, we'll all get out, I'll just nip round the corner and get some money out of a cash machine, then come back to the station, we can all get on together and have drinks on the next train. So, train pulls in, off we all get, off goes Bob for the cash point. Now, often, at the best of times, I don't have a particular sense of urgency. And there was an interesting bookshop on the way to the cash point. It was like the Swiss mountains and all this mountain equipment and stuff. And I was looking and thinking about Bob, the conqueror of mountains kind of scenario. And I thought, oh, cash point. So I went on to the cash point and got some money out and came back to the station. And, well, the family had gone. And so had the train. Obviously, Swiss people don't keep to African time. And, you know, if the train is going at 5 o'clock, at 1 second to five it will be there, and at 1 second past five, it won't. So I stood on this platform, an empty platform, thinking, gosh, what do I do now? Then another train came. I thought, well, I'll get on that. So I just got on it, and about half an hour later, the ticket collector came and he had a look at my tickets. He said, you're on the wrong train, sir. Oh, I said, where's this going to then? And he said, this is going to Lausanne. I said, is that anywhere near Geneva? He said, not really. He said, it is a different city, sir, I'm afraid. I said, if you were me and you wanted to go to Geneva, what would you do? And he said, as a matter of fact, there is a connection that meets with a fast-going business commuter train in Lausanne. So I thought, okay, thank you ever so much. And so I just thought, well, I've got this money now, so I sort of had a drink and some Swiss pastries and sort of sat down and enjoyed my train journey. My phone had run out of batteries. I thought, oh, well, I can't phone anybody. And, of course, Jane was on the other train pulling her hair out, because I'm not allowed to keep my own passport because I simply lose it. So, I mean, she's going to the airport with the four kids and skis and bags and what have you, and my passport. So yeah, I arrived at Lausanne and ambled over to the next thing and got onto a train there that sort of zoomed me very quickly to Geneva. And when I got to the airport, Jane was just going through the passport control. And I said, hello, I said, I'm here. And she looked at me, semi-ferociously, I have to say. There wasn't that I'm pleased to see you element to that look on that other occasion. And then I went through with them, and she said, how on earth did you get here? I said, well, I'm not really sure, but I'm here. They don't let me wander off anymore. Whatever form of transport we're on, or off, they at least put one of the children on the case with me to make sure that I do, in fact, get to where I'm supposed to go. But it does help, doesn't it, in general, to know where you're going and to get on the right train, going to the right place and the right bus. And you see, the first amazing thing that we should celebrate about Jesus' ascension is this. Because Jesus ascended, we can know where we're going. Because Jesus ascended, we can know where we're going. You know, some people say the three subjects you should never talk about at a polite supper party is religion, sex, and politics. You should never talk about those three things, though we all quite like talking about all of them. The truth is, there's one thing that you can never talk about any supper party, and that's death. If you want to ruin a supper party, just lean over to the host and say, excuse me, I was wondering, have you given any thought to your death recently? That would do it. It's the ultimate conversation stopper, because people don't know where they're going. But because Jesus ascended, we know where we're going. In Timothy, it says here, here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. Where is Jesus? He's ascended, he's risen, he's glorified. He's reigning in heaven. And so will you and I. We will follow him. Because he ascended, we can know where we're going. I read a story about a flower company. I sense that it was our wedding anniversary, 4th of June, yesterday, and Jane's in Cambridge helping her sister-in-law with a new baby. So we're not usually apart on our wedding anniversary. So I rang up Interflora and sent her a bunch of flowers, which I got that one right. At least it went to the right house on the right day. But it reminded me of a story I heard recently about a flower company where it didn't go so well. You see, there was a finance company, and they decided to send flowers to one of their businesses that was relocating, if you like, to welcome them into their new premises. The trouble is, there was a bit of a mix-up at the florist regarding the cards that accompanied the flowers. And the card that ended up being sent with the flowers was, with our deepest sympathy. The florist, of course, apologised, but later became even more embarrassed when he learned that the intended card had actually been sent to a funeral home and read, congratulations on your new location. That's the ascension. After Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he moved to a new location. He ascended to heaven. And those who choose to follow him there. The ascended Jesus, preparing a place in heaven for me and for you. As Jesus told his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God still and believe in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, I can't even begin to imagine what kind of a place the Lord is preparing for us on that day. But what I do know, it is going to be great, and we're all going. Fantastic hope for our future. Three amazing reasons why we should celebrate the ascension. First, because Jesus ascended, we know where we're going. Secondly, because Jesus ascended, hey, we've got friends in high places. Have you ever wondered what Jesus is up to now? Or do you think he went into retirement after he ascended? What have you ever wondered, what is Jesus doing now? You know, there have been lots of high-profile cases in the news and in the media recently where rich and famous people employ the best lawyers and best media people available to represent them. Yet, so far, as I've read, none of them have actually been represented by God. That is, except for you. Except for you. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus represents us as a believer before the Father. You might sometimes think, how can I possibly be saved if I continue to mess up? If I continue to sin? And John, he spoke about that when he wrote, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." You see, when you and I mess up, when we sin, the Lord Jesus represents us in heaven before the Father. He presents his own self-sacrifice on the cross as a payment for our sin. That's why the writer of the Hebrews says he's able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives and makes intercession for them. And there's another thing that Jesus is doing when he's in heaven. He's representing us to the Father, and he's also praying for us. Jesus is committed to praying for you and for me. Don't know if you ever feel, as I sometimes do, that life has caved in on you. You don't know what to do or what to pray. Well, listen to what St. Paul wrote. "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. He is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." That's worth stopping and thinking about. Jesus Christ, who has all the authority on earth and in heaven, is praying for us. He's praying for you. He wants us to succeed, to finish the race. What a prayer partner. What a prayer partner to have. Jesus is your prayer partner in heaven. That's why the writer of the Hebrews wrote, "Let us therefore draw near to God with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." Because of Jesus, we have access to the Father. He's there representing us. He's there praying for us. He's there interceding for us. What more could we possibly want? Well, there's more. Or there is. One more thing. One more reason that we should celebrate Ascension Day. And it's this. Thirdly, because Jesus ascended, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus walked among us during his time on earth as God in human form, he was subject to physical restrictions. He could draw alongside the disciples to help them, but actually would only be in one place at a time. He couldn't have been in Bath and Bristol at the same time. So in chapter 16 of John's Gospel, Jesus promises that after his ascension, God is going to be present in a new kind of way. John chapter 16, verse 5. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I go away. Because unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. As Christ ascended, the Holy Spirit of God descended. An amazing transaction for us. The power and the presence of the living God available to all believers. Not just once, but again and again and again and again. That's why we're commanded to go on being filled with the Spirit. And because Christ ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. And now he is available to us. Whenever we ask, we might receive. So I wonder this morning, when was the last time you asked? When was the last time you asked God to fill you afresh or anew with his Holy Spirit? Jesus said this. He said, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Because Jesus ascended, we can be filled anew with the Holy Spirit of God. And we can be filled anew right now. I wonder, my friends, when the last time that you asked was. Let's not waste that which came to us because of the ascension. Let's celebrate it. Let's grab it. Let's ask. Maybe this morning your faith is flagging just a little bit. Maybe your witness is slacking just a little bit. Maybe your praise is flagging. Maybe your battery is running a bit low spiritually. Well, this morning I want to proclaim to you that our God is the God who takes pleasure in refilling us, re-energizing us. He loves to do it. Nothing would please God more than his people asking him to be filled with his Holy Spirit anew. And nothing would help us more than to ask him to do just that. So I'm going to suggest that we take God at his word this morning for what he said he will do. Now I'm going to ask James and the gang if they very kindly help lead us in a time of worship. And as we do that, if you would like to be prayed for to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit of God, then I know that there are some people in the church who would just count it a privilege and a joy to pray with you. And as we begin to worship God now, I just ask if some of those people would ever so kindly move to our new ministry zone there. Then if you would like God to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit, if when I asked that question, when was the last time you asked, you had to think quite a bit. That's probably too long ago. And God is a God of today. So now is the time to receive his Spirit. Let's worship the Lord. And would the ministry team please come to a little section over there.